Update, brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mai, good evening at 5:10. This is Update for Tuesday, 12th of March, 2024 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes looking at the latest news on the island. Background to that news and sport and business, Sea-Watch travel updates and the newsmakers in person. This evening, Braddon Commissioners in the firing line, external oversight for Manx Care's finances. Peel's community help's been rejected by the planning committee. 33% fewer tax cappers than 10 years ago. And Lee Johnson's had surgery after breaking his leg.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Siobhan Fletcher.
Fastamai. This evening's Manxman sailing has been cancelled. The 8:45 crossing from Douglas to Heysham and its return leg have been called off due to forecast adverse weather. Elsewhere, Ronald Way Met Office has confirmed a yellow weather warning will be in place tonight for coastal overtopping from 11 p.m. until 3 a.m. Students at Ballacameen High School have been told they are not allowed to leave lessons to go to the toilet unless they have a medical issue or it's an extraordinary situation. The headteacher has written to parents and carers to inform them that increased supervision around toilets is being put into place. The rate of inflation on the price we pay for goods and services fell again in February, down to 3.5%. It's a decrease of 0.9% compared to the previous month. Further afield, Romania's approved the extradition of social media influencer Andrew Tate and his brother to the UK, but have delayed it until a separate trial there is over. Police investigating a funeral directors in Hull say they've had more than 1,000 calls from the public about it since Friday. They've not gone into any details, but confirmed two people arrested over the weekend have been bailed. And Sunset Boulevard leads this year's Olivier nominations with 11. Nicole Scherzinger is up for Best Actress in a Musical for her role in the Andrew Lloyd Webber revival. There are your headlines, news at 6.
Secure tomorrow today with Man Benham's private client team. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Karamaya, thank you, Siobhan. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, we've got that strong wind warning in operation in the North Irish Sea. State of sea moderate or rough tonight. And as you heard, the boat's not going. Cloudy with patchy drizzle. A strong to near gale force southwesterly. Overnight low temperature, 8 degrees. And the Matrix signs at Hilbury, Bagarrow, Sulby and Ramsey showing fog on the mountain road. For Wednesday, tomorrow, for Jacrane, cloudy and wet with outbreaks of rain throughout the day and a fresh to strong southwesterly, up to 11 degrees. Overnight minimum is 9. For Thursday, Jerdain light, patchy rain and drizzle on a fresh to strong southwesterly, top temperature 10 Celsius. Sunset this evening, 18 minutes past 6, low tide, 7:15, high water, 2 minutes after 1 a.m, sunrise, 24 minutes before 7, and the morning low water is at 23 minutes past 7.
Manx Glass and Glazing are able to offer an emergency out-of-hours boarding up service. Call 491918.
A burden on ratepayers for the next 30 years was one of the criticisms aimed at Braddon commissioners at a standing room only meeting over the handling of the Roundhouse project. John Moss from Manx Radio News was among the 150 people who were there last night.
It was never going to be an easy meeting for the Braddon board, and in particular their chair Andrew Jessop, who fielded most of the questions from a gathering of 150 in what will be the cafe and refreshments area of the £10 million Roundhouse development. The reason for calling this requisition meeting, which was chaired by Maroun, captain of the parish, Charles Farger, the recent rates rise of 37%, which is tied into the costs of this building, which started, as was pointed out a number of times from the floor, at £3.5 million before rising to its present cost. Of some comfort to Mr. Jessop will have been a short address from Middle MHK Jane Poole Wilson. The other middle member, Stuart Peters, was not present. Twice in the meeting, Mr. Jessop was asked if he'd considered resigning, but he didn't give a reply to that. Overall, a vigorous meeting with Braddon commissioners left with little doubt about the anger of the gathered ratepayers over the increased rates burden they had to face and the difficult financial future faced by the Commission and the Roundhouse.
A review is underway into Manx Care's finances after Treasury appointed an external specialist to look into the healthcare provider's oversight and governance. A story from Sian Cowper.
An Isle of Man government spokesperson has confirmed to Manx Radio that the review aims to support ongoing improvements in forecasting, control and risk management, as well as performance and accountability arrangements and reporting. It's hoped this work will enable Treasury and the Department of Health and Social Care to gain a clearer understanding around the healthcare provider's financial governance and to challenge more effectively where necessary. It comes after an overspend meant Tynwald had to approve an additional £30 million for healthcare services in the current financial year. Chair of Manx Care's Finance, Performance and Commissioning Committee, Nigel Wood, has welcomed the review.
Not surprising given the results of this year, but I see this as actually a very positive move because I think it will enable us to have a useful exchange of views, and it will enable us hopefully to seek better alignment with our stakeholders in the shape of the Department and Treasury. So this is an external review by I think an expert from the UK. I actually met him this morning and had a very helpful chat with him. I found him to be open and communicative, objective, very professional, and I think very interested in what we represent. And I think the views that he will provide over a period of time will be very helpful to us and the department.
A fee of £4,500 has been agreed to undertake the review.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300.
TT competitor Lee Johnson's had surgery after suffering a broken leg while riding in Spain recently while preparing for this year's TT in Northwest 200. In an update to his YouTube channel before having the procedure, he revealed his doubts as to whether he's going to be fit to race on the Snaefell mountain course in May and June.
Hi guys, welcome back to another vlog. This time we are going to be going through the situation, or the current situation, of what's happened to me, what the plan is now, what we're going to get done and stuff. So currently right now I'm sat at home, been home for nearly a week, or yeah, just about a week. So last week we went to get a checkup to see about getting the cage fitted to my leg, literally being laid on the sofa for a week watching Netflix and YouTube and stuff like that. So if you got any suggestions, chuck them in comments below. I'll always take any suggestions for any good programs. We're going to go to Sheffield. I don't know what the name of the hospital is. Get there, get the checkups done, make sure the leg's ready to go. It was a cut that was the problem. You're not allowed to put a cage on, apparently, if there's any broken skin. So that was the reason. And hopefully that's fixed or healed now, and we can get cracked on and get it done. And yeah, I've got loads of things lined up, different, obviously, with the oxygen and laser and electronic machines and all sorts of stuff to try and heal, make it heal faster, because obviously the deadline's a lot closer this time than it was the last injury. So yeah, we're really pushing now to get back in time for, I don't think we're going to get back in time for the start of the British Championship for the Northwest and the TT. The plan is obviously to take you guys along with me this time, a lot more detail, because honestly the last time I was not in a good place, whereas now it's literally the case of I'm fine mentally and stuff. Obviously the first few days were really hard because I've put a lot of work to get myself into that situation to be fit again, and then this has happened. So it was honestly a hard pill to swallow, but I'm over the other side of that now, and all I'm concentrating on is getting fit and ready to ride my bike again.
Proposals for a community hub comprising a cafe, bowling clubhouse and public toilets designed to regenerate part of Peel Promenade have been rejected by the planners. BBC Isle of Man reports the application for permission in principle for an area of Marine Parade split the opinion of the planning committee and was ultimately turned down. Here's Beth Espy.
Concerns were raised during the meeting that the designs didn't cater to the needs of the wider community. But Peel commissioners said the indicative plans outlined the potential size of the development, and the community room included would allow for a variety of uses. The site at the northern end of Peel Promenade lies in an area designated for tourism in the Peel local plan and is currently home to two hard surface tennis courts. Peel resident Alistair Cubbin-Wood had called for the purpose of the site to be broadened to become a multi-purpose building so the public money benefited more locally local residents for more hours in the day. Local authority clerk Derek Sewell said the proposals aim to rejuvenate the location by replacing existing old dilapidated buildings which weren't able to be refurbished economically. Representing the authority at the hearing, he said the Board of Commissioners believed a development of its type, where facilities could be swapped in and out, would create a hub for tourism and leisure in an underused part of the town. The planning committee found the plans were contrary to the site's tourism designation and highlighted a lack of detail about replacement facilities for a multi-sport area, which would see the tennis court move to the adjacent dilapidated BMX park area. Planning Committee Chair Rob Callister, MHK, also questioned why a public consultation hadn't been carried out. Mr. Sewell said the rejection of the plans was unfortunate, and it was now for the local authorities board to decide whether to appeal the decision or return with a detailed application.
Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The motor vessel Manxman departed Heysham at 4 minutes past two. She's safely in Douglas now on the link span. No departure this evening due to the forecast adverse weather. The sailing's been cancelled. If you have a registration and a reservation, they will be in touch with you, or you can contact them. So no sailing tonight, then snow 2:15 back to Douglas tomorrow morning. So no newspapers, eh? Perhaps. Next sailing, 8:45 tomorrow morning. Manxman heads to Heysham.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
Four men who've been accused of being involved in an organised crime group which allegedly trafficked drugs to the Isle of Man and cash out of it have been remanded at the Isle of Man prison. The story from Tessa Hawley.
They appeared at Douglas Courthouse today, charged with offences dating between February and October last year. 23-year-old Liam Skillicorn of Lennox Park in Douglas and 57-year-old Colin Richards of Waverley Terrace in Ramsey appeared in the dock from custody. As well as participating in the OCG, they've been charged with being concerned in the production of the Class A drug cocaine and Class B drug cannabis. They were joined by 32-year-old Aaron Dickinson of Domain Road in Douglas, who is facing the same offences. He's also been charged with possessing cannabis with intent to supply. The fourth defendant, 43-year-old Liverpool man John Bates of Clough Road, has also been accused of five offences of removing criminal property from the Isle of Man. Deputy High Bailiff Rachel Braidwood was told that seven people have been charged as part of the police investigation. It allegedly culminated in a police chase across the Slock on the 25th of October last year. This was reportedly followed by the discovery of cocaine in the area, which had a street value of between £49,500 and £99,000, and cannabis with a street value of more than £56,000. Three of the men appeared at Douglas Courthouse on Saturday. Bail applications for Mr. Skillicorn, Mr. Richards and Mr. Dickinson were refused. All seven men will next appear in court on Thursday.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 17 minutes before six, shares in Persimmon fell after the UK house builder warned of continuing tough markets as it reported a worse than expected 52% slump in full year profits. The company said pre-tax profit for the year to December plunged to £351.8 million, missing estimates of £359.5 million. Enhanced competition in the mortgage market and wage growth have continued to improve affordability, albeit continues to be constrained, they said, particularly for first-time buyers, and demand for homes remained varied across the UK. For a full daily market report, go to ramseycrokehall.com. Chinese technology giant Xiaomi starts selling electric vehicles this month, its first ever venture into competitive automotive. The car's price will be announced on the 28th of this month. China's fifth largest smartphone maker says it's got 59 stores in 29 cities across China to take orders. This comes as a price war intensifies between firms like BYD and Tesla in China, the world's biggest car market. At the unveiling of the SU7, the Speed Ultra 7, last year, Xiaomi's chief exec Lei Jun said the company aims to become one of the top five car makers in the world. The smartphone giant says it'll invest $10 billion, $7.8 billion sterling, that priorities in its vehicle business over the next 10 years, Lei Jun said the SU7's capable of out-accelerating Tesla and Porsche EVs. Xiaomi's hoping the car's shared operating system with its phones and other devices will appeal to existing customers.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets closed higher. The dollar was higher in choppy trading amid data showing hotter than expected inflation last month for the United States. Oil rose and gold remained under pressure. The numbers from Ramsey Crookall at the close in London. The FTSE 100 up just over a percentage point, 7,747. The DAX in Frankfurt up 1.25% at 17,967. In the United States, the Dow Jones Industrial up 0.4%, 38,918. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index just over a percentage point, 16,182. And the S&P 500 up 0.75% at 5,155. But of course, they're still trading in the United States. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling at $1.278, €1.17, and 23 South African rand, 83.9 cents. In commodities, gold's down just over 0.75%, $2,165 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude up 0.25% at $82.40.
I'm running late again. Do you know where I put my car keys?
In the fridge.
Where's my phone?
Under the dog basket.
Bye.
You haven't forgotten that we're seeing Ramsey Crookall later?
No, of course not. 5 p.m. is it?
3:15.
I'll be there.
Life is busy. That's why Ramsey Crookall's team takes time to help you make a mindful investment decision, considering all the options, giving you full control of your financial future. Less stress, more assurance.
Forgot to put my shoes on.
Oh.
See how we can make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source. And Manx Radio's update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
Faster Mai, good evening. Thanks for dropping by. It's 13 minutes before 6. There are currently 58 people on the Isle of Man who are registered for the tax cap of £200,000 compared with 87 a decade ago. That's down over 33%. In the House of Keys today, Treasury Minister Alex Allenson, MHK, was asked if this was something which was still working.
In 2013-14, it became apparent that there was an increasing trend for individuals to plan their income distribution so that they were not tax capped every year, which in turn can provide both considerable tax savings to the individual and increased uncertainty and volatility in revenue receipts to Treasury. And that's why the five-year period was brought in by one of my predecessors to stop people changing which year they were paid. So I think that has worked quite effectively in terms of that certainty, both of government income and also those people who are paying the tax cap. I do agree the number of people electing to take the tax cap has changed over that period. The value of the tax cap has changed significantly from £100,000 when it was originally set out now to £200,000, and with the time constraints on it as well. But as I've answered in this Honourable Court last week, there are a range of other jurisdictions that offer different products. The tax cap is one of the products that's offered on the Isle of Man that will be reviewed as part of the tax strategy. It is still important in terms of some of the people who live on this island to structure their financial affairs in the best way for their certainty, but also guaranteeing government income. And I hope to continue this debate in another place when we talk about the tax strategy as a whole. But also I'd like to say, since we are on Manx Radio, that I remain committed to a fair tax system for all the people on the Isle of Man, whatever their wealth. And I'd hope that none of the comments made in this Honourable Court would be seen to be detrimental to those individuals or couples with high net worth who make this island in their home and put significant investment into the infrastructure and the charities of this island.
Manx Radio Sport.
Faster Mai, Rob Pritchard.
Faster Mai, good evening. First of all tonight, could the Isle of Man be heading to Malaysia for the 2026 Commonwealth Games? BBC Sport is reporting Malaysia's Olympic Council says it received a formal invitation from the Commonwealth Games Federation to replace Victoria as hosts last month. Separately, the CGF has confirmed to the BBC it is in advanced discussions with potential hosts. Malaysia has hosted the Games once before in Kuala Lumpur in 1998. Victoria in Australia had been due to host host the event in 2 years' time, but withdrew in July 2023 due to what it described as soaring costs. Turning now to motorsport, and this year's Pre-TT Classic Road Races has received a quality entry in terms of numbers for the 37th edition of the event. That's according to its promoters, the Southern Hundred Club, which says 230 entries have been accepted for the meeting, taking place from the 24th to the 26th of May on the Balaun course. The most popular classes currently are the Junior, Senior and Senior Post Classic Superbikes. Elsewhere, the club adds the sidecar category is slightly depleted compared with previous years, but there are 19 newcomers due to be involved in the solo classes, along with one new sidecar crew and two passengers. In cycling, after a challenging Tirreno Adriatico last week, Mark Cavendish will be hoping for better fortunes in Europe tomorrow. The Manx Missile has been named in the Astana, Kazakhstan squad for the Milano-Torino one-day event taking place during Wednesday. It's a race in which Cavendish does have good memories after he won the contest in 2022 with his former team Quickstep Alpha Vinyl. Tomorrow's race will get underway at approximately 10:30 a.m. UK time. And in football, FC Isle of Man's latest NWCFL Premier Division match away at Charnock Richard this week has been postponed. The match had been due to take place tomorrow at Mossy Park, but has since been called off due to a waterlogged pitch. A rearranged date for the fixture will be announced in due course.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Everything is on time at Ronalds Way. Next in, that's the 7:30 EasyJet from London Gatwick, then the 5 to 8 Loganair returning patient transfer from Liverpool, and the 8 o'clock Loganair from London City, all showing on time. Outbound, the 6 o'clock Loganair to Liverpool, then the 10 past 8 EasyJet back to London Gatwick. On the roads, phase closures of the Ballykill Ferry Road by Colby for the water main work, and also water main laying between the Cronk and Sandy Gate temporary lights on Ballymona Road, and also the same at Kirndrockard Road in Antrius, and the same south of Kirkmichael on the Ballylie Road. In Onchan, temporary lights around Governor's Road between Blackberry Lane and Cork Hills Roundabout for patching work. Between Sulby Bridge and St Jude's, there's some resurfacing going on. The St Jude's Road is closed. Near Sulby, also temporary lights on the Lazare Road at Kerrimore for work on the pavement. Between Croncavoddy and Bagarrow, temporary lights on the TT course near Handley's Corner for drainage work. Temporary lights on the TT course between the Craig and Hillbury, and also Hillside Avenue Douglas, closed through to Circular Road for adjacent office window replacement. A section of Switzerland Road's closed through till November in Douglas for construction work. Temporary lights also on Brighton Terrace at the Mount Bradder Junction in Douglas for gas main replacement. The Starview Road's got phase closures for water main work, and the Matrix signs at Hillbury, Sulbury, Bagarrow and Ramsey to the mountain, all showing fog on the mountain road.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
The Infrastructure Minister says he's happy with the amount of support available for first-time buyers on the Isle of Man. Two government schemes hoping to help people get on the property ladder have led to 60 homes being bought in the last 2 years. But Tim Crookall, MHK, admits the threshold should be reviewed regularly.
One of them is for brand-new houses, first-time buyers, and the other one is for houses that are not first-time buyers, but houses that are readily available on the market but have to come up to certain standards. And it's really good news. In the last couple of years now, we're just over 60 people that we've helped to get into their own homes. A pot of money was put into the schemes, if you like, to start with, and it's just going round and round and round. So as people are moving into houses and they're paying back, any surplus is then being lent out again. So it's a good news story, and say hopefully we'll be more than that next year and keep on growing it and help people, because we absolutely know it's hard to get into the property market, so it's the right thing for us to be doing.
Are the thresholds going to be looked at?
Yeah, we've seen the market move quite a lot in the last few years, and we need to keep reviewing those figures, probably annually. Those figures do seem quite low, and you know, while they're probably okay for flats and things, yeah, we need to be looking at that, and the first time buyers, the smaller houses, the two bedroom, we need to be looking to make sure that those the right property is available for the right people and the families. It's a big priority for the department, and obviously the Housing and Communities Board now is getting involved in all sorts of things. So housing was seen to be, you know, an issue on the doorstep 2 years ago at the election, and we're moving on now, hopefully, and with David Ashford moving into the Housing and Communities Board as chairman there, and the department hopefully in the next year or two we'll see a lot more, or in fact next year we'll see a lot more action on it. But it is tight, and as we said, we need to keep reviewing those figures to make sure they're accessible to everybody. Otherwise, there's no point in running the schemes. But the schemes have been successful, and we need to keep making sure they stay successful.
Do you think that the government is doing enough to help people get onto the ladder?
I think it is, and I think they keep looking at we keep looking at the moment, but you know, it's a case of whether we can put more money into the scheme to help more people. Money is tight at the moment, as we know, but if we can afford to, we'll absolutely do that.
Update Brought to you by Simcox Advocates.
6 minutes before six, remember to like Manx Radio on Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and if you use Twitter and LinkedIn, follow us, and your Twitter or LinkedIn feed will tell you the moment that the update podcast is published and available to listen to. The Isle of Man FA is fully committed to raising the profile of women and girls football on the island, according to the non-exec director at the FA, Vicky Hotchkiss. It comes after a major event to showcase the female game last week, and Vicky believes increasing the visibility of the sport will have benefits beyond just the pitch.
I think this could be huge, and I'm so excited that we have managed to put this event on. For us at the Isle of Man FA, we wanted to use the event as a really strong mark of intent as to our commitment for women and girls football over the next 4 years. So we're hopeful that the event will generate a lot of positive publicity and really raise the visibility of everything that the women and girls do for football, and not just on the pitch, but those women and girls who take part in things off the pitch, who volunteer, and also women and girls who come to watch and spectate the sport. Football has a unique ability to extend its reach far beyond the pitch, and for me, I've always been very, very confident in the ability that sport as a whole has to bring communities together, to bring commercial opportunities for local businesses. So upping the level of participation for women and girls in the sport makes sense to me from a community cohesion point of view, from a commercial advantage point of view, as well as just giving more people the chance to enjoy a sport that we all love. I think everyone I know has been inspired by the success of the Lionesses in recent years. Their talent and their commitment, their ability and everything they've achieved has really lifted the visibility of women's sport, particularly football as a whole. And I think that the knock-on effect of that can be felt across the whole of England and obviously the Isle of Man too. The vision is that we seek to double the amount of women and girls that participate in the game. So double the amount of teams that we have, double the amount of players that we have, and more than double, hopefully, the number of women and girls that feel welcomed and want to come and spectate the sport.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher, producer Amy Griffiths. Put your safety helmet on. Countryside is at the Young Farmers Concerts after the news at 6 with Kiri and Simon, and the Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley at 6:30. Update returns Wednesday evening at 5:30.
WINT.